Good morning, Global Women Fresh community. How is everyone this morning, afternoon, evening for those in Europe? Excited to be here this morning with our speaker, Priscilla. Welcome to Global Women Fresh.
Hi, Julie.
Paul Clark. Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Hey. Good to see you, awesome. Priscilla.
Good to see you, Carmel. Hi, Julie. I'm so excited to be here. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be part of this group and to talk today and in this podcast.
Awesome.
Really looking forward to this conversation.
Likewise. So we have a lot of exciting things to talk, learn a little bit about your journey. Obviously, as we mentioned in social media, we're very appreciative of IPD, who was kind of the organization who connected us both. So Priscilla is not only a business owner, just a woman power working in the lands of Brazil. Bom dia. That's my only word in Portuguese.
That's
but
pronunciation.
No, super excited to be here. And also you're part of our board member, so of Global Women Fresh. Priscilla, why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about where you are, your background, and then we'll kind of get this conversation going.
So I'm at the farm and as we speak, so I was in the field just this morning. I would like to start saying that I don't come from a background of farmers. I started the business together with my brother. I was actually the first one to come to the farm and fall in love with the land. So I had to start everything fresh and new. I had great mentors, which were perfect for my success. My journey with IPD started last year, which was a big turning point in our business. I'm very grateful to them. They were doing the fair again with them this year. We had big clients come through them. It shaped us as business people in this industry, which everything is new. So a couple of years back, I became the ESG director for Abrafrutas, which is the Brazilian Association of Fruit Producers. So my journey in sustainability started a couple of years back, which has been very fulfilling, and not only fulfilling, but it has been a great. I have learned so much through this, and this has taken me place to a lot of new places, and now I'm part of the board of the Brazilian government to talk about fresh produce. So this is me. I'm a grape and mango producer.
And then, a mother, you have kids or?
Yes, I have a daughter, a 5-year-old daughter called Elisa, the big love of my life. So yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm a mom.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, this is fascinating. And Carmel, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. I got my coffee, so I'm doing well now.
Awesome. And it seems like it's still summer, a little bit warm out there in Utah, because here in Oregon, it's already starting. The fall is already here.
Yeah. No, we, it's still in the mid to high 80s here, enough to hang out by the pool, which is lovely. I'm hanging on to it as long as possible, but I will say that peach season is over, and that's very sad for me.
Well, tell us, Priscilla, a little bit. So obviously, you know, Brazil right now is in the center of a lot of, if you open up the Wall Street Journal this morning, then you'll see that there's a lot of things in the news, but we'll focus more the conversation about produce, obviously, very briefly. If you can just share your thoughts as people were getting, unfortunately, we mentioned that we would not be able to participate at Fruit Attraction, but as people were getting ready to, everyone is getting.
Julie dropped a little bit. Okay, well, Priscilla, just go ahead and pick us up and tell us a little bit more.
We've been directly affected by the tariffs, as a lot of you know. We have been charged with a 50% tariff right on the week that our season was going to begin. It got us all by surprise. But fortunately, there are people that are sending mangoes to the U.S., especially because there are no other mangoes for the U.S. to buy during this small window that we have. For grapes, the truth is we're not directing grapes to the U.S. We're directing it to every other market, so we're not even considering sending grapes to the U.S. For this season. How can I say this without getting too political? I see it as a fight between egos, like ego, you know, the it's really affected us in many ways, but it has forced us to look to other markets. So we continue life as usual, and let's see how the American consumer is going to react once the mangoes start getting in the market with a bit higher price. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, as you're coming from the farm, just a few minutes ago, you were running from the farm to this podcast. Obviously, we talked a little bit in the past, and you've mentioned, you know, obviously some of the challenges that you have endured as a women leader in the Brazilian culture and the Brazilian farming aspect of it. Why don't you share a little bit about that journey with us?
It is a curious journey, and I don't think I've even close to mid-journey yet, because it's a constant learning process. When I got here, I was very much a city girl, so I had no idea of how things worked in the field and people's pains and I thought I could help everyone. But when I was too nice, people just took advantage of me being too nice. And it took me a while to understand that. And then I started becoming too harsh. No one in the farm could talk to me, just my direct employees. And I became this person that it wasn't me. And now I'm trying to balance this. How to be a leader without being harsh or without being too soft? And being a woman, especially in Brazil and from the city and not the field, it's tricky because some people I have heard like, you don't know anything about the fields, or this is not the job for the for a woman. But I have managed. I try to enforce, no, this is what I want, that's what you're going to do. And it's been tricky trying to find my voice on all this. But I'm managing, I think, hopefully. And I come from a Lebanese background. My father's Lebanese, so he came to Brazil. So it's something that was very cultural in my family as well. And working with my brother and proving myself to my father was something that I thought I had to do. So it was all this deconstruction of who am I, and what is my voice, and what type of leader I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure it out, how to be this person that I aim to be. Not this harsh leader, but not someone that's perceived as soft and that lets anyone do whatever they want. And well, and that was part of a journey. And when I got pregnant with my daughter, as soon as I gave birth during the pandemic, and my husband almost died as soon as she was born with a heart condition. So I was away from the farm for a while, and that was a harsh comeback as well. But it's something that I did. It's funny that you asked. No one ever asks if I have kids, but it's such a huge part of my life. So,
yeah. You know, obviously as women, I think that's one of the trickiest things. And as career women, and especially as being in a farm, right? Like, you're dealing with constant challenges, whether people, you know, markets, you know, and it's kind of such a dynamic. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was so fascinated when I met you back in Berlin early this year, with your story of like, yes, I'm a farmer and I'm a woman and I'm doing it all. And I'm here at grow, and I'm with international connections and opening up new markets and new opportunities. But at the same time, I'll get on a flight and go back to the farm and deal with the farm. And I think that that's truly, truly fascinating. I'm sure, Carmel, you have some thoughts there.
Yeah, I do. I'm interested, Priscilla. You have this situation where you're on the one hand dealing in with the actual farm situations, right? And the culture of the farm and the culture of the farm in Brazil, right? And then on the other side, you're actually working in government situations and you're a woman working in government, which is its own different set of challenges. I don't imagine you actually saw yourself in your life playing both sides of these kinds of things, but yeah, I'd love to know your, I guess what I'm really asking is this juxtaposition that you find yourself in, how does that affect you? What are your thoughts about it, that you're on both sides?
It's funny that you asked, Carmel. You got this going on my head a couple of weeks back, but I've never imagined myself in a political place. And I don't see myself as political, but I actually enjoy being in the backstage of where decisions are made. It's very different. Being a woman in this position is very pleasing, I think, to people when, I'm a farmer, I'm a woman, I talk about sustainability. So people really like that position. So it fits well for me, I think. In a very rude manner of putting it, but that is true. In the farm, I try not to bring this side to the farm because it's very different from what's happening in Brazil's capital. It's completely different from what's happening here in the rural area. So I haven't really been able to connect these two personas that I've been playing, really. That's the truth.
That's a lot to manage. And I love that you actually walked us into the fact that you had to do some deconstruction yourself in your life. I mean, that's a lot of self-awareness work, right? In order to be an excellent leader, that's part of the process, because knowing yourself is a necessary component of being able to be an excellent leader of people, right? Being able to move people in the directions that you need them to go in, or dealing with the challenges that come up. I guess I'm wondering, what has been the biggest challenge that you have encountered? You talked about the challenges with the farm side of things, but what has been the biggest challenge for you on the political side, or on the, I guess, the more, you know, public side of things? Yes.
The biggest challenge for me is being in a place where I sometimes disagree completely of what is being said, is putting myself in a position to hear and discuss in a very amicable manner with people that I couldn't disagree more of the way they think. So this has been my biggest challenge, because learning how to edit myself. This has been a true, very hard for me to do.
Okay, take us inside that a little bit more. I think that's really valuable for all of our listeners, right? Because this is something that happens, and it does happen with everyone, right? And it also happens a lot with women, because speaking up, we experience oftentimes not being favorable, or our opposite opinions not being received well. Go ahead.
Oh, it's like that. Isn't like the statistics, like, I don't know, women will think 10 times more to raise their hand and say something versus man, that they just, you know, they spill it out. So I think it's always this balance about how do we empower women in the business to feel more comfortable to speak up their mind.
Yes.
Versus rethinking and thinking so much, right? Like,
And what are your recommendations, or what are your tools that you use when you find yourself having to moderate because you agree so completely, you disagree so completely? Yeah.
It happened the worst way possible. I gave a lecture and I was misinterpreted, and I had to excuse myself and say that was not what I meant. And it was a really, really bad internally. I felt horrible. This is something that I think now you put it on more. It's true. I think women, we have to be much more careful with what we say, because it could be interpreted in the worst way possible. So this is something I haven't completely learned yet, but I'm trying. So what I've been doing, I have been taking acting classes so I can better be this persona, and how I make my words as clear as possible, how my dictation goes, and training what am I gonna say. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing a lot and trying not to take things to a personal level. I'm trying. I haven't really managed yet, but I've been trying. And I think it reflects in my team in a very positive way, because I have an all women team in the office. So when they know that their leader is putting herself on in this position of being in a place where a lot of times I've perceived as the enemy, because I'm in agriculture, and agriculture here in Brazil is seen as people that take forests down and et cetera, et cetera. It's been, I think it inspires a lot of people. The first time I heard that I inspired women was from a person that I admire so much. So this is, it has been a real challenge, but very, very fulfilling in a very personal level, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question, because I went a little bit too far.
No, actually you did. And I think talking about how learning how to be, like teaching yourself how to be very precise in your language, what you're saying, is an important factor here, as well as choosing to take acting lessons so that you can present in a certain way. That's quite forward thinking. And one of the things that you just said that I think really bears repeating is learning how to not take things personally. I think that's probably one of the big takeaways from today, as we're having this conversation between, you know, the things that you're doing out on the farm and what you have to do there, versus now having to, you know, show up in a very strong but completely different way in the Capitol, right, with all of the political parts that are going on, not taking things personally. So I guess I want to know, how did you come to that particular, is there a story behind that? Like you came to like, I can't take things personally.
I haven't really managed completely. It's something that I'm working on, but, I'm a very spiritual person. I've been part of groups, since a long time. And there's the book called, I don't know how to say it in English, but it's the Five Commitments. Mm-hmm. And there's one of them is don't take anything personally.
Don Miguel Ruiz.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And I've been trying for a long time, but I didn't know the extent it was going to get until I put myself in a public position and things got to me at a very personal level. It all started with this particular speech that I gave that I was misinterpreted, and I felt as the most horrible person ever. I was really, really bad. So starting in that point, I began to think, this cannot affect me as much as it can. This is not my only role. I have all these other roles. How am I gonna be like completely whole in the other roles if this is taking a toll on me? Right. So this has been an exercise I've been doing. Yesterday I had an example. This person from a government sector, which is not someone high up, but mistreated me in a very rude way. I wanted to cry, but I couldn't cry. And so I had to stop and think, this is more about her than about me. I'm not going to read into this. But this takes a lot of I have to breathe like 100 times. And try not to look at it. It's been this balance to find my sensitive side with my businesswoman side has been a gray zone that I haven't really figured out, but I want to be the type of leader that shows sensitivity in some level.
Yeah.
And this has been, this has not been easy at all.
And taking a little bit of that concept, Priscilla, when you know, obviously, as you mentioned, you're part of different board members and board of directors. So when you look at the industry of Brazil, the produce industry, the fresh industry, a couple of things is like, what do you see? What are some of the things that excite you about the future of the industry? But like from a diversity lens, like how do you see that women playing a role? And as you think globally, you know, what are some of the things that you see that, you know, Global Women Fresh can step in and be that community for this women around the world in Brazil?
Well, there are so many women in fresh produce in Brazil, so many, a lot of more and more in the fields, but we're starting to see a shift, a forceful shift. For example, women in tractors or women in heavy machinery and women decision makers. This is something that we have noticed for a while. There are a lot of women. There are maybe not as much in decision level making, but I think it's something that we're definitely aiming at. Brazil is the world's third largest fresh produce producer. So mm-hmm. we have a huge opportunity to explore because we're way down in exports. And women tend to be very good negotiators. And I think globally, we have less rejection than inside Brazil. I think women have more difficulties in Brazil because a lot of women, especially in farming or in levels that are less lower down in the hierarchy, women are sole providers for the whole family. So sometimes people forget that when women don't come to work, is that they have to take care of their whole family. So this is very true in Brazil, that we see women as sole providers. So we have a huge opportunity to talk to these women because they don't have to be like men. Sometimes they're expected to, but they don't have to. So this is something we have as a leader in this industry in this country, is something that I would love to tackle, is how to inspire women to be women inside this industry and not play the role of men, because I don't want to badmouth men, because I think everything works in balance, but it's an opportunity as a board member of Global Women Fresh, I would love to talk about.
Yeah, no, I think that finding your voice as a leader it's a journey, and I think that's yeah. something that as you put years of devotion in your career and you get exposed to, you know, all the good and the bad that our industry have to, you know, all the different challenges and yes, and the great things that our industry have. I think that those are the things that shape you as a leader. But specifically for women, I think it's a big one, right? Like trying to find a balanced voice that, you know, that allows, you know, collaboration, growth, opportunities without, you know, being too harsh or being too sweet or being too this, like always the managing the pendulum that it's not too much to the right or too much to the left. I think that's a big one in everyone's career. And I think for me in my journey, I also dealt with that, a lot of that, right? At the beginning, I also wanted it to be more harsh because once again, you know, it was it's a very heavy male dominated industry. So you don't want to be taken as a weak leader. And quite honestly, in many situations, as the only women in the room, you know, you felt like you had to be a little bit tough, right? Like, you know, like from everything, like tough, how you dress and how you, you know, the colors yeah. you wear, the attitude. And then it was at some point in my career, like, I don't know, 15 years in it, I'm like, my goodness, I have to soften up. I have to, like, bring the good part of being a woman, the female aspect of being kind and compassionate and developing listening skills, right? Listening more than maybe talking. And I think that that's that journey. And that's a little bit of the journey that Carmel helped me in when, you know, when we started working, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, it was kind of finding that balance voice. I'm sure, Carmel, that's what you coach a lot of your customers, right? I mean, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, that is a common thing that I find, is how to be yourself and be yourself in these different situations that could be pushing back against you being yourself, right? Like it is that challenge. And I think one of the things that is really important, and Priscilla, I love your walking into this with us today for this very reason, is that it's so often we fall back to this place of like, oh, I need to change, or there must be something wrong with me, or, you know, that I don't fit into this. I mean, maybe I don't think there's something wrong with me in a big way, but maybe in this particular setting, you know, this job or this board meeting or whatever, like, I need to change. And, you know, I definitely agree that we can learn how to be excellent leaders and develop new skills and really be able to help other people around us to operate at a, you know, a higher level in terms of, you know, how we interact with each other and being able to solve problems effectively. At the same time, I think it's really important as women and as leaders sitting at the table that we recognize from that fundamental place inside that I don't need to change to be able to do a very good job, right? Like, I can be super brilliant and incredibly competent and intelligent. And if other people have, you know, a difficulty with that, then I, you know, they're going to have to catch up to that, right? Like, and that can be hard because that we don't want conflict, but that can sometimes create conflict, can't it, right? And so then we're like, how do I handle the conflict that comes when I'm actually just being myself and bringing my competence to the table, which is what we want to do, and everybody benefits. So what are your thoughts, Priscilla, on that?
It's interesting the way you put it, because conflict was always something that I ran from, it's a terrible thing to do, because the conflict sometimes is needed so you can stand your ground.
Yes.
So this is so this is something that I've been looking at for the past couple of years. Maybe I can't really run away from conflict. I need to, this is what I believe in, and I'm not giving up. So sometimes, yes, I'm perceived as really harsh. Maybe a man does, if they did the same thing I do, wouldn't. But this is something that I've been looking at a lot. Like, how, of course, during this journey, as you both know more than I do, probably, is that we sometimes get lost. As, oh, I forgot who I was all in all this process. I don't know anymore. This is what I wanted to do, and it didn't work. So who am I going to go back to inside? So, but I'm looking forward to get to a place where I can bring all my qualities and just be myself without being perceived as harsh and strict or mm-hmm. overly sensitive. Because sometimes I speak to my team and I cry. Yeah. Because this is I built this farm from scratch, so this is a huge accomplishment for me. I get really, really emotional when I talk to everyone who's here, and sometimes people are like, what is this woman crying? But I don't judge myself anymore for crying for such a big accomplishment.
And tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the farm. So Luna Fruits, your mango and grape
Lena,
producer.
Lena
yes. Fruits, and so mango and grapes producer.
Yes.
And how big is the farm? How many acres? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. The farm has about I don't know in acres, but in hectares we have 700 hectares. Okay. We're right on the water on the San Francisco River. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And we have the area is a my region here is known for grapes and mangoes. We have explored with blueberries, some which worked and others that didn't, but it's something that we see working. It's a desert area, but we have water, so we can produce all year round all these different types of fresh fruits. So it's a very promising area. And when I came here, I had no idea how big and how diverse Brazil was.
And let me ask you, sorry to interrupt. So you moved from a big city, from Sao Paulo or from?
Oh yeah, I'm from Sao Paulo. I actually live in Sao Paulo. I commute every other week. I get on a plane and come here. Thank God my brother is my business partner, so we alternate.
Okay. Which I find it unbelievable. Like, it's like, you know, from being a city girl, going and spending a whole back and forth at the farm. I mean, it's a lot of dedication and work.
Yeah, I see it as a very... I put it on myself that I have to, not to teach, but I think I'm a very good example for city people to know what the reality of how the produce area works. It's very different from what we have in mind when we're living in the big city. So I'm a huge fan of what we do here in Brazil. It's amazing, amazing country for our agriculture. And I'm a big defender of everything I do. And so because I live in Sao Paulo and I have this ability to be in several different circles, I put it upon myself to, not to teach, but to show everyone how amazing this country can be in the produce sector. So
phenomenal.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
And as you're getting ready for Fruit Attraction, you know, once again, I mean, sustainability, obviously, it's a big part for you and a little bit of the background. How do you see this world of, obviously, the European market is a lot more advanced when it comes to sustainability.
Yes.
More protective of the environment, of plastic. So what are some of the things that excite you on that, like on that front of the sustainability world?
I think that we have a lot to go ahead forward in between what the consumer expects, because sometimes it's very far away from what the reality allows us to do. And how to show Brazil, we have all these certifications and all these everything that is expected from us as producers. So it's a high bar. And yes, the Northern European and in the UK consumers are much more attentive to the sustainability side than other places. But I think it's something we can't go back to how it was. So we've been traceability is something that it's every day we have to do more. And I think other markets are going to look into this. With the American market, I don't know how to say this in a better way, but isolating itself. Well, we're looking for China, for example, and China is getting into the sustainability world. They have already proven they want to take this place from the U.S. We've been seeing that, so we will probably, as we open China for other fruits, we will probably use the sustainable aspect of it for the Asian market. It's something that it is, but we have to be really realistic. I feel that sometimes the consumer end is not really realistic of what really happens. So the more we communicate, the more we show the process, the better. So I think a lot of farmers, like old school farmers or people that came before me, don't show the process too much. So I want to put light in everything, like how we control biodiversity, all the animals we have in the farm, how we control the water, how we look, how our fruit is completely free from pesticides once we pick it. So
the educating part of the aspect of educating consumers and retailers and importers of all the work that goes into managing a sustainable farm is it's a lot of work. But yeah, going back to Carmel a little bit, so I know that you guys have, you know, obviously we have a big initiative with Global Women Fresh and Carmel with the Power Circle. You, Priscilla, were one of the participants a couple of weeks ago. Tell us a little bit more, Carmel, just for the audience to know what we're doing with Power Circle, what it means, and the invitation to them.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. So Power Circle is a Global Women Fresh sponsored women's membership group, and it's an opportunity for women in the industry, women leaders. And I love that, Priscilla, you have both the farm and the corporate side of it, right? To be able to come together. And we focus on those areas that are going to help us develop ourselves as women and also help us to, better advance ourselves in our lives in all ways, right? Like that's a huge part of what Power Circle is. We're also bringing women from all over the world to be able to connect with each other so that those relationships can build in these very real ways. You know, it's not just networking, it's actually community building. And there's also what I'm doing in this group is bringing the coaching, and I've been an executive coach for the last 25 years. And so when I bring that in, we're actually doing the work together to, you know, address whatever is next for these women and leaders that are coming to the group. So that's really what Power Circle is about. It's an opportunity to come together. It's an opportunity to develop ourselves and advance ourselves further, be able to create more community with each other across the world in different ways. So that's the quick and the dirty of it. Priscilla, you came and joined us in Power Circle, and we had quite the surprising time together, didn't we?
We did. Carmel had a very uncomfortable question, and I've been thinking about it since then. It's something I've been questioning. I've been asking myself, should I reach out and just talk to Carmel? Because it made me think so deeply about what I've been doing and why.
I love that. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, so, and the more we do, sometimes we get lost and we don't look, why am I doing this? And I sort of lost, but I've been doing so much and I sort of lost sight of why am I doing all of this. So it was great, and I'm looking forward to the next Power Circle, and I've been thinking of Carmel the whole month.
That's awesome. I love it.
It is.
A good paid out sponsorship right there.
Yes.
No, but I think it's important to mention to our audience, like, the whole point of Power Circle is once again to provide a space for women. We're very appreciative of the pro bono work that Carmel has, the time and the hours that she spent with Global Women Fresh. But it's an invitation for women to really kind of spend, you know, an hour a month with connecting with other women, going through, you know, issues that we go through in our careers, and having a safe space to be able to kind of deal with those things, right? Like, I think it's a healthy environment, and it's a healthy space. Not only for you to get coach through a career coach, which is Carmel, but also about hear it from other leaders, right? Like me, we have CEOs, VPs, directors, women who are in Europe, in South America, in the US. So it helps you create a little bit of that. Okay, well, you've dealt with this too. Maybe I learn a little bit about you and that. So it's really, we're super excited of this initiative.
Can I say something else on that, Julie? Yeah, I love that you're taking us inside that, because I think this is one of the things that I find all the time with women. We have to handle so many big responsibilities all the time. And we are accustomed to being the go-to person, the knower, the one that's, you know, on all the time, that's, you know, making decisions, responsible in making decisions. And this space and Power Circle, you know, along with being able to connect with others in the like, you know, kind of situations in life, professional women who are really doing it, is actually to be ourselves too in this way where, okay, wait, I don't have to come with everything figured out here. I don't have to come presenting this picture to everybody that like, I got it all buttoned up super tight. I can actually bring the things out that are questions for me, or the doubts that I might have inside, or the challenges that, you know, kind of got me right now. And I'll get it, but like, I could actually bring them out in a safe environment to be able to discuss and get different, like you said, different insights, and to have that true, honest openness and vulnerability as a human being in that space. And I think that's when we have the opportunity for the most solution creation and the most growth as a person. And also to just, you know, when we have that, to relax for a little bit, instead of having to be on, we can actually relax and be ourselves in these other ways, like you were talking about earlier, Priscilla. Like, okay, I'm not having to be hard here, and I'm not having to be like ultra professional over here, and, you know, running a mile a minute. I can actually just step back and focus on me for just a little bit. Priscilla, what would you just add your thoughts?
No, that's it's been a. It's amazing to have a space to just stop and think about everything, because exactly what Carmel said, we're the go-to person at home, but in the business, and sometimes more than one business, and we end up being the decision maker, and we never think, sometimes we never step back and just like be with ourselves and think, like have a clear picture. Where am I going with this? Or why? Just a self investigation. Mm-hmm. So it really moved me when we talked to Carmel, and it has been on my mind since. So I think, and it's great to hear that I'm not alone when we talk to other people, like some people in Europe or Eastern Europe, or here in South America, in the US. And to know these issues are not only my own, I can share them. So this is amazing.
I love it. Well, as we're kind of coming to the end of our podcast, and Priscilla, super appreciative of both of you, of your time. And obviously, I know you're in the middle of the farm and doing a lot of different things. But why don't you give us kind of as your closing statement, your kind of advice, recommendation for the women in the industry who are listening, to maybe the younger generation? What is a little bit of that piece of advice based on your own journey, career journey?
We have to believe in ourselves, even when no one is believing believing us, because we're gonna find that people try to put us down by not believing in us. And it's that inner spark that has to get you going. It has gotten me going, of believing when I got here, I had nothing in the farm, that this is what I'm going to do. And it doesn't matter what people say or try and get me down. And it's not every day that it works, but it's something that it has to be like on your mind. This is my belief. I'm going to make it happen. So it doesn't really matter what you're going to do in the industry. It matters that you believe in yourself. You can do whatever you want. Look at me. I came from a completely different market, and here I am producing fruit in the northeast of Brazil. I'm the best example that you can do anything you like.
I love that. I love it. Well, thank you, Priscilla. Carmel, any final comments on your side?
I just have to underscore what she just said. It doesn't matter what you do in the industry. You just have to believe in yourself, right? Like, again, let's bring that home. I love it. Thank you, Priscilla. Thank you.
Well, once again, just want to say thank you, not only to our listeners, but also to our sponsors, to the Produce Industry Network, and then to all of our sponsors who give us the opportunity to be here. Obviously, Priscilla, you're going to be in Fruit Attraction, so we'll be reposting the audio for the podcast for those who did not get a chance to be here today. But I'm sure your Fruit Attraction is going to be a great success for you guys. And we look forward to staying in touch, and then good luck in all the endeavors in the farm. We look forward to hearing
more. Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys.
Well, I appreciate you being here. All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. See you.